you great spirit.
Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us here in person and online for the last Sunday of June. Will you please stand as you are able for our opening hymns?
Oh,
I really wish you wore your fairy wings up here. They're sitting down there. They would have fit perfectly up here. Have a seat. All right, so we look behind us. We've talked this month in Pride Month about celebrating each of us and how each of us are unique. And today, we're going to start in our rotation in Children's Church. Each week we do crafts, we do activities, or today we're going to watch a short film. And it's about friendship. So let me ask you all, Olivia, do you have a friend? What do you like to do with your friends?
I like to play with them.
What do you like to play?
I like to play hide and seek with them.
Oh, you like to play hide and seek. Amaya, do you like to play hide and seek? Annalie, do you like to play hide and seek?
No.
What's something, Annalie, you like to do with your friends? What do you like to do with your friends?
Run around and play with them.
Run around and play with them, like play outside? Amaya, what do you like to do with your friends?
I like to play hide and seek.
You like to play hide and seek too? So we all have different activities that we like to do with your friends. Oh, and we like to share our things with our friends and our sisters. And what the Bible says about friends is friends love us in the same way that God loves us. Did you know that? That friends love us the same way God loves us. So our challenge too is sometimes there are things we like to do like hide and seek. What's something new that a friend has taught you to play? Olivia, what's something new, a new game that you learned because a friend taught you to play a game?
To decorate some rainbows for them.
Oh, decorate rainbows for your friends? You know, Miss Caitlin in the nursery told me that you all like to play charades. Did you like to play charades? And so you learned something new and different. You really like charades. So here's the challenge, too. Sometimes, Amaya and Annalie, friends teach us different games. Amaya, had you ever played charades before? No. Did you have fun? Yeah, so sometimes friends challenge us to try new things. And that's one of the movies that we are going to watch. It's about friends trying to teach us new things and celebrating the differences of friends. So that's something I want to challenge all of us as we move forward, is to celebrate that we each have unique talents and gifts that we share with one another. And we want to celebrate all those things that make our friends special. All right, let's say a prayer, and then we're going to go off to watch one of our short films. Bow your heads in prayer, please. Dearest Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful community that we have here and for our friends here that may teach us something new, that we celebrate our differences. That's what makes us such a beautiful and diverse community and representative of God's love for each and every one of us. And all God's children said, say amen. As we go off, we will be in Grant Hall, and so you can pick up your children there. And as we go off, I ask you to stand up and share peace as you're comfortable with one another.
Peace be with you. Let's throw it up to the balcony. Peace be with you. We love you, balcony, and all our friends watching from home. We're so glad you're here. I invite you now to take a deep breath and center yourself as we enter into a powerful time of prayer together, brought there by our incredible chancel choir.
Oh. God, we are so grateful for this time together this morning for worship and prayer, reflection and joy. Help us to find our peace in you when the days are long and difficult, when the answers seem far away, when our soul is conflicted. Lead us towards you. Grant us your peace. Pour your spirit over us, into us, and through us, so that we might become healing agents in our broken world. Guide us in our decisions, and grant us your mercy and wisdom. This morning we continue to celebrate this wonderful month of Pride, and we pray that you are with all our brothers and sisters and siblings on their journey, that you are keeping those who have been feeling fearful or uncertain safe, and letting them know that they are loved. Help us to be the emissaries of that love, that teach a full gospel, while all are welcome and celebrated. This morning we pray for migrants who are traveling across our borders, across the world, in response to economic conflict, violence, uncertainty in their homelands. Help us to understand that people only leave their homes if the home can no longer hold them in safety. Grant security to those on their journey at our border, and may we find a way to offer the sacred act of hospitality. And be with those who perished in their families at sea recently, more than 86 migrants. We know that they are just a sampling of many who are on the move now, desperately seeking safety and a place to call home. Help us to be your Christian and loving people, and finding a way for all people to find security in their lives. We also lift up the workers in our community, the multiple labor struggles right here in the heart of Los Angeles, our brothers and sisters and siblings at WGA, SAG, and in the hotels, and so many others who are experiencing the economic uncertainty in this big, beautiful city and are seeking a sustainable and equitable life. Be with them and give them courage. This morning we pray for Uncle Peter and his family, for our brother Richard, for Precious, for Allison and Gloria on the loss of Ugo, and for all of those who seek healing. Be with them always. We also offer or invite you to give extra strength to those who are caregivers, who are surrounding those who are sick with their love and enlivening their days. And especially this morning, we want to lift up caregivers in our own community and name Debbie, Susan, Tim, Dave, and Darren. Be with them and give them strength. We have so many prayers in our hearts and minds, and now we take a moment of silence to offer them to you. We offer all this to you. We know that you can carry every burden. From you comes every joy and every gift, and we are grateful. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to live amongst us, to share his life, to die on the cross for us, and to give us the gift of eternal life, grace, through his resurrection, and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. Good Sunday morning, Hollywood family. Man, it is the last day of June. Last Sunday in June. We're halfway through the year. How are those New Year's resolutions going? Thought I'd check in. All right, speaking of checking in, let's all do it. Get out that phone, scan that QR code, strap your name in there if you would please, or any prayer requests that you get. We get those every week and pray over them. Starting next Sunday for the next 2 months, we have CrossFlix. That is our summer sermon series where we find faith in films, the films that we watch. We have 9 great films coming up through August 27th, and 7 different people preaching during that time. So there's a list right there of films. You can also find it on our website at CrossFlix. So I do Monday movie nights. Normally I go a lot of times by myself, but if you are available, and I hear we might have a good group of people going to see Asteroid City tomorrow at Universal City Walk. We're going to do that tomorrow, and then the next Monday, Indiana Jones. So if you are interested in seeing those on Monday night, come see me in the courtyard afterwards. We can talk more about it. 2 things for July I want to keep on your radar. So this grew out of Ruth and Rev Ed small group, and you can pick up a little reminder here. We are doing, on the 9th of July, we're going to do a meditation sound bath worship meditation that Rev Jefferson from our Harmony Church is going to come over, and he's going to do that with the sound bath bowls. And you can come, you can sit, you can bring a yoga mat if you want to lay on the carpet, but it is a very restorative worship meditation. So mark that down. That's in 2 weeks on Sunday the 9th after church. And then Saturday the 15th is our first vacation Bible study. That will be for kids anywhere from 3 years to fifth grade. It's going to be here in our gym and in our backyard park. We're going to, the time for that is 9:45 to 1 p.m. So that's Saturday the 15th. You can also pick up some information at the welcome table on that if you'd like to know more about it. And then, of course, let's not forget, because I'm already excited about a barbecue, our church picnic is on August 6th, and we're having also the kids' big water day with the slides and the castles. Oh, I didn't put the picture up this time. So it's going to be a fun event. So fun for the whole family, and there'll be food after church on August 6th. All of this information you can find at the welcome table, either in the narthex, or come see me in the courtyard after church. We have a lot of wonderful desserts. And speaking of desserts, Dan, will you come forward, please? He loves when we do this.
Loves when we do this.
Loves. And I heard, so somebody told me that he was worried that I was going to make a big deal out of this. I feel like I should sing a solo for him. Just kidding. Come on up, Dan. We want to thank Dan. Yeah, John, hit it. We want to thank Dan because he's really, for the entire year since we started back at homecoming, has made some... Go ahead and stand in the middle over here. Yeah. Has been making us some of the delicious treats and desserts and preparing all of the meals that we have. And we just wanted, he's going to take a month off, well deserved. But we want to just thank you so much for everything you've given to this church family. I picked these myself. Yeah. So today we have some special Dan treats as well. But Dan wanted. Do you want to do it?
I do.
Okay.
I agreed to speak today and do something that I promised myself I would never do, which is stand up here and speak in church. But there are 3 people, we've been doing this for exactly 1 year now since last Mother's Day. And 3 people that are members of our church have volunteered every single time that we have done an event. And I would like for those 3 people to stand up as well. Bill Miller, Mr. Bill, the lovely Norma Coral over here. Norma, stand up. Norma, I see you, Norma. I can see you. And Joyce Fairman, who usually sits right here, but she's not here today. Thank you all very much. And there is actually a fourth person that volunteers every time. And she's not here today because she's not a member of our church. She is my friend and my neighbor, and she's volunteered for every single event at Hollywood and every event at Harmony. And she comes to my home every Saturday and bakes with me for Sundays. Wow. And she's not a member of our church or of Harmony, and she's not of our faith. But she does it anyway, and she loves it. And she told me a little story that I would like to share quickly, that she had, before she started working with us, volunteered for a church that's right across the street from our houses in Glendale. And she was working in the kitchen, serving every Sunday and serving for the events and everything, and she felt wounded because no one ever introduced themselves to her. And no one ever acknowledged, really, her presence as a new person in the church, even though she was actually working there. And she said, I felt like everyone thought that I was an employee, and they were just asking me for creamers and milk and things like that, and she stopped. She stopped going completely because of that experience. So I have been racking my mind over a way for us to make our beautiful courtyard experience one where we all get to know one another a lot better, but, and build community in this church. And you know, you would might have noticed that I didn't have to look around for where Bill sat or where Norma sat or where Joyce sits every time, because everyone sits in the exact same seats every single week. And we all go to the same place, and everyone does the exact same thing out in the courtyard. We get our coffee and our dessert, and then we go and talk to the same people every single week. So beginning this week, I'm initiating a cookie tax. And the cookie tax is, this week I will be the first person in line, and I will fill out my name on a name tag, and I'll put it on myself, and then I'm going to turn around and introduce myself to the person behind me, and I'm going to write their name on a name tag, put it on them, hand them the stuff. Then I'm going to get my cookie, and you're going to turn around and introduce yourself to the person behind you and do the same thing. And at least this way, we will get to know one person each week. Unless, of course, you rig the game and you only stand in the middle of people that you know. I was worried that people would think about people looking at their name tags and say, oh, well, she didn't know my name. She had to look at it. So I'm going to insist that everyone look at every single name tag today. So even when you go up and talk to Reverend Kathy, you have to look at her name tag to address her because she's going to use an alias today. So she didn't know that, but I'm going to give her a name tag, and her name is not Reverend Kathy, so you have to call her by the proper name. And this way, at least, hopefully it'll be a way that we're not just gaining weight from eating cookies and things like that, and we're actually are building community and making this a place where people will feel welcome. Thank you all very much. See you in August.
Hold on. 1 second, Dan.
And by the way, Joyce is up in the balcony doing PowerPoint
today.
She's volunteering more.
I thought I saw her. All right, thank you. Wow, I didn't know we'd have a job assignment, Dan. Yeah. All right, hey, we won't put you to work if you want cookies today. No, there's a lot of people that have volunteered over the year as well, too, when you can, to get in the kitchen. We just want to thank you all. The food has been great this year, and I've had to go to the gym more often. All right, one last thing. I'm just going to skip right over to the, I'm going to skip over the Holy Land one, so don't worry about that. All right. All that we do here is made possible by you, with your prayers and your presence. Love seeing your faces and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward, please give as generously as you're able so we can continue to do this ministry and this work here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you so much.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
It was the year of our Lord, 2000. I was serving full-time as the associate director of the California Council of Churches, doing outreach work on hunger and homelessness and welfare reform and healthcare. But I was also the quarter-time children and youth pastor here at Hollywood, trying to grow our family ministries under the leadership of our beloved Reverend Dr. Ed Hansen, our pastor emeritus. Now, Ed, I think it was that conference Sunday that you asked me to preach. It was one of the Sundays in June. I don't remember which, but I think it was. I don't have the sermon because I had saved it on a floppy disk. You all are too young to know what that is. But it's in computer heaven somewhere. But here is what I do remember about that sermon. I began the sermon in this very pulpit by saying, "I am very glad I am not a Southern Baptist pastor standing before you today, as a bunch of men in that denomination has decided that I do not have an authentic and biblical voice, but I do." That was the first time that the Southern Baptist Convention had decided that women just aren't up to the task of preaching. 23 years later, in June of this year, after Saddleback and another congregation were excommunicated from the Southern Baptist Convention, I say again, I am very glad that I am not a Southern Baptist, but a proud United Methodist pastor that has ordained women in numbers since the 1970s, and which soon and very soon, will be ordaining all persons called by God, no matter who you are and no matter who you love. Amen. On this fourth Sunday of Pride, we join Jesus in asking, who is it that has an authentic and biblical voice? Jesus is very clear on the answer: those who desire mercy and not sacrifice. Our scripture lesson for the morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, which was written for a Jewish Christian audience, those Jews that believed in the Christ, but also adhered to the familiar rituals of their Jewish faith. Now, all three of the synoptic or the similar Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, include the call of Matthew and of Levi and other disciples. They also include the story of the healing of Jairus' daughter and the story of the healing of a woman with a hemorrhage. Matthew is the only one, though, who puts them all together. At the same time, he invokes the words of the prophet Hosea, who said that God desired mercy not sacrifice. And he did this likely because Matthew's audience is more attuned to following the law. Matthew wants us to understand that God desires covenant loyalty instead of a well-being offering, and knowledge of God rather than a whole burnt offering. God doesn't want a show, in other words, God wants our love. Now, to demonstrate how God wants mercy and not sacrifice, Matthew gives us two examples of mercy that are each given longer attention in other gospels. The first story is of a very young woman, actually a girl, who's the daughter of a man named Jairus. Now, only the Gospel of Mark gives us his name. Jairus was both faithful and he was desperate. Faithful because he was a synagogue leader. His official position at the synagogue was most likely a special appointment to supervise the observance of the law, especially regarding things that were clean and not clean. But Jairus was also desperate because his daughter is dying, even as her young age would indicate that she is just beginning to live. But not only is he on the precipice of losing his daughter, a well-respected synagogue and community leader, he knew that he was not allowed to even hold his daughter's hand as she died, because to touch a dead body would make him unclean. So this leader of the synagogue decides to put aside his professional obligations so that he could fully be her father. Jairus had to move into a place of yearning and longing because he refused to accept the prospect of his daughter's young life being interrupted, her dreams dashed and her hopes broken. And so he used his status and his power to approach Jesus. He comes directly to him and he kneels and addresses Jesus in the public arena with what his child is facing. And Jesus says, yes, I'll go with you. I'll go see your daughter. He agrees to go to Jairus' house to lay a hand upon his daughter, even though she was presumably dead. But then there's a story within the story. An interesting thing happens on the way. This unnamed woman of a hemorrhage of 12 years, the same number of years that Jairus' daughter has been alive, comes to Jesus for healing. Unlike Jairus, she wants to remain unnoticed. All she wants is healing, which she believes she can receive if she's just able to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She too is desperate. Her own body has betrayed her. For 12 long years, she's been unclean, unable to enter the temple or touch anyone else, or else she would render them unclean too. She winds her way through the crowd of men who are surrounding Jesus as he is on the way to Jairus' home. The crowd was listening to Jesus' teachings. She braves the public arena, which is not considered a proper place even for a clean woman, much less an unclean one. But she finds a way to get to Jesus. And when she does, and she touches the hem of that garment, he instantly feels the power emanating from him to her. And what does Jesus do? Jesus bids her come forward from the shadows into the light. He acknowledges her value, her worth. She had spent years in isolation when what she really needed was community. She'd been shunned by those who imposed the sanctity of their cleanliness codes on a woman who had sought every remedy under the sun to no avail. Jesus knew she needed mercy, that her truth needed to be told as a countervailing power to the notions of society of who is clean and unclean, who is worthy and unworthy. And then Jesus says to her very simply, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." Then Matthew goes back to the first story, the healing of Jairus' daughter. As they approach the house, they hear the crowd and the flutes playing, indicating a death. And Jesus heard them and told Jairus, the synagogue leader, "Don't listen to him, to them. She's just asleep." The great theologian and writer Frederick Buechner's on this text is sympathetic to the mourners, who wept and wailed because they didn't have it in them, he says, to pretend that the death of a child is anything but the tragic and unspeakable thing that it is. And Jesus didn't say anything to get them to change their mind, didn't tell them that it was God's will or anything like that. But when Jesus told the crowd that he was there to heal Jairus' daughter, they laughed at him. He got them all out of the house, away, and then Jesus went in, and he took her by the hand. And immediately, the scripture says, the girl got up and began to walk about. Now, both the woman with a hemorrhage and the father of the little girl take Jesus seriously. Both believe that Jesus can heal them and restore their lives. Both kneel before him. But why? Did they believe they had nothing to lose? The woman with the hemorrhage clearly did. She had been shunned by everyone. She had no one to turn to except Jesus. But Jairus, on the other hand, Jairus had everything to lose. Position in society, power, status in the religious order, but he was willing to risk it all to save his daughter. Theologian Debbie Thomas says that in Jairus' story, Jesus demands that we not pronounce death where he sees life. In the woman with the hemorrhage's story, he demands that legalism give way to compassion every single time. Jesus demands that legalism must give way to compassion every single time. In each story, Jesus restores a lost child of God to community. In each story, Jesus takes hold of what is impure in order to practice mercy. In each story, a previously hopeless daughter goes in peace because Jesus finds value where no one else will. In each story, we see Jesus offering mercy and compassion to those in need, and Jesus bids us do the same. What counts with God, ultimately, are not sacrifices or offerings. Not that they're unimportant. Sacrifices can be a God-given, gracious means of grace. But they're not magical acts that bring forgiveness. Without repentance, they are worth nothing. This is the understanding that shapes Hosea's condemnation of sacrifice that Matthew quoted. It is not that God prefers the knowledge of God more than sacrifices. God prefers the knowledge of God rather than sacrifices. So if we look at the actions of the Southern Baptist Convention in that context, the convention, or you can say the men, have decided that their understanding of Scripture and how that understanding is to order the church requires that women clergy be sacrificed. And I'm guessing likely a lot of those women clergy are better preachers than some of the men. But I digress. Because you see, they are valuing the law as they understand it over mercy. They are completely casting aside the values of Jesus, who loved women, who healed women, and who offered mercy to all, especially to those whom society deemed less than. They're denying the call of God even to some of their daughters.
God of the women who
We too, family, over the decades, have denied the call of God to too many of our LGBTQ siblings. I am grateful that here in the Western jurisdiction, we now proclaim that we are where love lives, where no one is denied their call from God based on who they are or whom they love. So as we conclude this Pride Month and prepare for our summer CrossFlix series with a host of preachers, let us be intentional in looking for ways to show mercy to others. May we affirm the call of God in one another, not only to ordained ministry, but to all acts of peace and justice, love and compassion. May we all find moments during these summer months to rest and recreate and vision how God is calling us here at Hollywood United Methodist Church to order ourselves for the future. May some of us even enjoy a Springsteen concert or three. But in the process, may we draw near to God's heart, knowing that we are God's beloved children, made in God's good image, and loved exactly as we are, including and especially our Southern Baptist siblings. Amen. Join us for communion if you would like. Just come forward and sit in these first two rows, and Pastor Bridie will be glad to serve you following the postlude. And then I hope to greet you in the courtyard and learn what my new name is. So go forth this day knowing that God loves you, knowing that you are a beloved child of God, and nothing will ever change that. Go forth now to love and serve the world. Amen.